Amen. Isn't that good news? The Comforter has come. That I, a child of hell, should in His image shine. Wow. That is a glorious word. That is a great thing. And it's all because of His amazing grace. It's all because of His love for us. He chose us. He redeemed us. So as we gather together this morning, as we focus on the Holy Spirit as our teacher, the Holy Spirit was promised back in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel. But in Jeremiah 31:33, we have this: "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." I read that from my phone as an opportunity to remind you to silence yours. I don't ask you to turn them off, just silence them. Let's bow before the Lord. Father God, creator and sustainer of all, author and perfecter of life, thank you. Thank you for choosing us before the foundations of the world. Thank you for choosing to love us, to make us, to knit us together, knowing full well that as you gave us free will, we would rebel. Knowing full well that we would scorn you, that it would cost you everything to redeem us. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the grace that we so often take for granted. Thank you for your forgiveness, full and free. Thank you that you have not left us as orphans, but that you have placed your very Spirit within us so that we, individually and corporately, have become the temple of the living God. Father God, thank you. We recognize today that we are not worthy, but we thank you for your love that has set us free. And we ask now, Father, that you would teach us, that you would lead us into all truth as it is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you would draw us closer to you. In Jesus' precious holy name, and for the glory of His kingdom, we pray. Amen.
There's a long black train coming down the line, beating up the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Look to the heavens, you can look to the skies. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. There is protection. Just waiting on your heart to say, let me ride on that long black train. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. Its only destination is the middle of nowhere. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. Yeah, watch out, brother, for that long black train. That devil's a-driving that long black train.
As we consider the Holy Spirit, remember we've been talking about the names of God, the character qualities of God. Remember that as we have talked about that, we focused on the names of God primarily in the Old Testament, first of all, and they would be God the Father, Yahweh, the great I Am. And most of the names that we have around us that have the red on them were names from the Old Testament that tell us who our God is, what His character qualities are, things of that nature. Then we transitioned, and we started actually with Yeshua because we started in the Christmas season. But Yeshua, Yahweh saves, Jesus. And so then in the period from... Well, we did some of the names of Jesus from Resurrection Sunday to Pentecost. We did some of the names of Jesus. And we focused on their meaning for us. Those have the blue I Am's in front of them, and there are seven of those. And we began to look at how that impacts our lives. And since Pentecost Sunday, we've been focusing on the Holy Spirit. Remember that the Holy Spirit means that it is a spirit that is different than our spirit. It's a spirit that is not the spirit of man. Neither is it the spirit of this world. And so it runs contrary to a lot of the things in this world. And we have a hard time sometimes because as we think about that and as we think about being filled with the Holy Spirit and as we think about moving into those things, we're being called to be other. In the old King James, they called it a peculiar people, a different people. We're called to be set apart as a people that look and act and speak differently, that are controlled by a different way of approaching things. And that spirit that we have available to us that is different is the very Spirit of God. It's what He designed us to be. So when we yield to the way of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, then we are actually becoming what God intended us to be in a harmonious, whole relationship with Himself. And when we follow the spirit of man and the spirit of this age or the spirit of the world, then we're becoming less of who we are. We're becoming less human and more savage, less what God made us to be. So as we focus then on the Holy Spirit, and we realize that one of his names is Paraclete, the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate, the one who comes alongside of us. And that's what Helper is. It's that Paraclete. And we've looked at that, and we need that, don't we? Don't we need help to be what God wants us to be? To have his mindset? Because when God calls us to walk differently in our world, we're constantly swimming upstream. And that's hard work. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God who dwells within us, is there to help us, is there to empower us. We'll talk about that later. To encourage us, to counsel us, to enable us. And he is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is the Spirit that is in alignment with that which is real. The very Spirit of God. You see, we live in a world where we see as in a glass darkly. We live in a world where we can't see everything that's going on. And I thank you, Hassan, for mentioning the Ouija board and the spiritual forces of wickedness and things of that nature. They're real and they operate and they move around us, but so often we can't see them. And we may not even know what's going on. The Spirit of truth, when we align ourselves to him, we're aligning ourselves to God, to that which is really real. And it may make us out of sorts with the rest of the world. Because the world is stretching its own plumb line that's crookeder than all get out. And it's asking us to measure up to standards and to ways of thinking and being that are just totally wrong. And so in the world's idea, for example, how you look is important. In God's idea, it's not. Because the world looks on the outside, the externals, but God looks on the heart. And he considers who you are as a person. And so the world says that those who have are more important than those who do not have. But Jesus said that he's come to set the captives free and to proclaim the year of Jubilee to the poor and to deliver all of us. It's not about how much we have. The world says he who dies with the most toys wins. I'm just going to tell you, he who dies with the most toys still dies. And then they're confronted with what they did with their life and whether or not those toys meant anything and whether they had any value. You see, the Spirit of truth aligns us with God and what is eternal and what is true. Aligns us with holiness, and it aligns us with love, because the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of love. And it confronts us. Last week I told you there's sin in the camp, and it's the Spirit of truth that reveals that. And while God's grace is full and free, and his mercies are new every morning, that's true, right? We don't want to presume upon that. We want to strive to bring our lives into alignment with the truth. We want to set aside the lies of Satan. We want to set aside our selfish desires and our selfish ambitions, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. We need to set those things aside so that we can be conformed to the character of the kingdom of God. A self-sacrificing, loving, giving, serving heart that ministers to those around us. And so we have the Spirit of truth that sets the plumb line in our soul. And if you read through Scripture, I don't know about you, but there's some things in there that are kind of challenging. You know, there are some things in there that you're like, oh, Lord, I can't do this. And you know what he says? Back to me. You're right. You can't. That's why I gave you the Spirit to help you. And it's not about you trying harder. It's about you living in Christ and being connected to Him and abiding and dwelling in Him. That's what makes the difference. See, when we do that, the closer we get to Jesus, the healthier and the more whole our lives will be, the more in line with the Spirit of truth we'll be. And it'll just happen naturally as we are close to Him. So, you know, the question that so often gets asked by people in the world, and this is a worldly mindset, but it's snuck into the church. How much can I get away with and still go to heaven? God's gracious, right? God's loving. God's forgiving. How much can I get away with and still be saved? That's the wrong question. It's a completely wrong question. It's completely backwards. And the question that we should always be asking, how close to Jesus can I get while I'm still in the flesh? While I'm still walking here on planet Earth, how close to Him can I get? How conformed to His image can I be? How true to the plumb line of truth can I become through the empowering and dwelling presence of God Almighty who's at work in my life as I submit to that? But that means setting aside the works of the flesh in order to engage the works of the Spirit. And I'm kind of tying the Spirit of truth and the teacher together, because as we look then at this teacher in the Gospel of John chapter 14, beginning in verse 25, Jesus again in His great discourse, He's talking about the Spirit throughout this. He's talking with them, preparing His disciples for His imminent departure. And He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Father, help us to hear your word today. And help us to conform to it, that you might be glorified in us. Amen. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you." Remember, Jesus did actually walk this earth. He walked the earth. He traveled among real people in real time. He walked holy and perfect. He lived that sinful life, fully human. And yet, the Son of God. And He walked empowered by the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that He is leaving for us. And He said to them, you guys, I don't know if you've noticed this, if you read the Gospel, but He says things to them like, "You're a bunch of boneheads. When are you going to get this straight? Are you as clueless today as you were 3 years ago when I started this journey with you? Have you seen that?" That's in Scripture. I mean, it's not that this is modern Kurt vernacular, but Jesus is, there are times when I'm thinking He's just shaking His head. He's like, "How long, oh Lord, do I have to put up with these people?" And even here, He was misunderstood right in the chapter immediately preceding it, you know. "Show us the Father." He said, "Have I walked with you for these years and you still don't get it? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." I mean, he's uptight with them, and as Josh said in the opening prayer, as he's saying, the Holy Spirit's gonna come and He's gonna remind you. He's gonna teach you and He's gonna remind you. And the disciples, quite honestly, they couldn't get it. The sacrifice had not yet been made. The Holy Spirit being poured out had not yet happened. And they were trying to understand the things of God with minds that have not been renewed by the Spirit of God. And it just wasn't making sense and it wasn't adding up. And it wasn't until Pentecost Sunday and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that all of a sudden they're like, oh, that's what you meant. I mean, that's when they got it. Yes, the resurrection was the first step on the journey. And they're like, oh, you meant that when you said you were going to rise from the dead. We thought you were speaking in figures of speech and parables. But no, you meant that, that you were going to die and that you would rise on the third day. And so we have this, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power of Jesus Christ, and he will teach you all things. Now, talk to me, what does it mean to teach someone something? To show them how to do it, how to operate it. To impart knowledge. You have knowledge they don't have, and you're sharing that knowledge with them, hopefully in a way that they can understand it. You have skills that they don't have. You do know that there are all different kinds of teaching methods, and there are all different kinds of teachers, and there are all different kinds of learners, right? Some of you are auditory. You're auditory learners. You can hear me speak, and you're processing, and it's tracking, and it's all good. And for those of you who are like that, praise God, because that's primarily what I am, and you're putting up with me. But then there are visual learners, people who are learning from visual stuff, and that's part of the reason why I ask my wife to paint the things and put them on the wall, and you can see it, and it makes a difference. And it's even better if it's pictures and things of that nature that'll kind of draw you in. Some of you are what's called kinesthetic learners. And that means you got to be doing something in order to learn. Isaac, our younger son, was a kinesthetic learner. He used to drive me nuts. We homeschooled him, and we'd be trying to teach him, and he's got his pencil going, and he's playing the drums, and he's, oh, man. And I'd say, did you hear a word I said? He would repeat word for word the last paragraph that I told him. Okay. There are different ways of learning. Some then need to be that kinesthetic. They need to be hands-on. The good news is the Holy Spirit knows that. And he is a perfect teacher. And he knows you perfectly. And he will meet you where you are. And he will instruct you where you are. He will help you. For some of you, the way he's going to do that is he's going to bring a brother or sister in Christ alongside you, and they're going to walk with you, and they're going to show you, this is how you do it. This is how you get it done. For some of those, he's just going to meet you as you're reading through the Word, and you're going to open the Word, and you're going to pray, and he's going to be there, and he's going to illuminate your mind, and you're going to be like, cool. That is powerful. That's life-changing. And somebody else is going to read that and say, could you put some clothes on that for me? Could you dress that up a little bit? Could you help me to understand it? Because the teacher, the perfect teacher, imparts knowledge to us. It instructs us in the widest sense. But here's the key about this, and it's kind of caught up in this. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And he's going to enable you to be conformed to the image of the Master, Jesus Christ. He's going to remind you of what Jesus said. He's going to remind you of what Jesus did. Just as Jesus took from the Father and imparted it to the disciples, the Holy Spirit's going to take it from the Father and from the Son and impart it to us so that we can understand it, so that we can get a hold of it. But one of the things you need to know about teacher, well, tell me, what do you need to know about teacher? Okay, they need to know their subject. They need to know how to talk to somebody. Carolyn. No, what do you need to know about a teacher? Okay, where they stand, certainly. But if someone, something, Bob, you were going to say something. Okay, what their background. Okay, so let's just assume that we have the perfect teacher in the Holy Spirit. Could we do that? Could we set aside for the moment that his credentials are flawless? Could we just agree on the fact that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, very God of very God, and that therefore anything that he teaches is going to be absolutely 100% on point perfect? Okay? What do you still need to know about teaching? How to hear. Thank you. You have to be teachable. You have to be willing to be taught. You see, it doesn't do any good to have the best teacher on planet Earth if you're not willing to learn. If you're unwilling to submit to the plumb line of truth and allow the teacher to instruct you, you're not going to learn anything. And you're going to stay cockeyed from the plumb line of truth. It's only through submission that the teacher will be able to teach you what you need. And this is true pretty much across the board. When teachers are trying to instruct, they expect you to be in submission to them in order for them to pass on the knowledge that they have that you don't have so that you can become as knowledgeable and as practical as they are. Hassan, you're really confused. It's all one voice. It's all one voice. And they all say the same things. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If I was to, we can see, for example, Sidkenu, if we take that Yahweh Sidkenu, we say, I am righteousness. And we can track that into the Father, certainly. But Jesus is also righteousness. Jesus displays righteousness. His acts, his life, his sacrifice, everything about him is that which is righteousness. It's conforming with the perfect will and perfect nature of God. And when we then listen to the Holy Spirit, we're going to get righteousness as well. We're going to be filled with right actions and right understanding and right knowledge so that we are operating in righteousness before God and in holiness before God. Three persons, three distinct persons, but all one, unified, the same, in terms of what they say, in terms of how they love, in terms of how they instruct. So I'm sorry for the confusion. This isn't a lesson on the Trinity, but I can tell you that the Trinity blows all our minds. You know, there's no one that really understands the Trinity. The only thing I can tell you is that that's what Scripture reveals. And they're all in sync and they all work together to accomplish God's purposes for us. Right, Jesus just in chapter 14 says, they said to him, show us the Father and it'll be fine. And Jesus said to them, you've seen me, you've seen him. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, you're listening to Jesus and you're listening to the Father. They're all wrapped up in that. So here's where I really wanted to go with today's lesson as the Holy Spirit is teacher. We have a great commission. Do you know what the Great Commission is? To go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or to obey everything that I have commanded you. And lo, and high and in between. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Those are our marching orders. Jesus, before that, said, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. And so we have the authority of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples by baptizing and by teaching. But here's the thing about teaching, if anyone is going to learn anything, they have to be willing to come at it from a perspective that says, I don't know everything I need to know yet. That there is truth that I can learn, that I can grasp, that can change me, that will transform me. And if we don't have that heart, if we think we have it all down, we're not going to learn much. I remember walking into a ninth grade class. Should have been a 10th grade class. It would have made more sense. But it was a ninth grade class. They were freshmen. And it was a Bible class, and I was their substitute teacher. And in essence, the kids in that class said, this class is a waste of time. We already know the Bible. How many of us live that way? How often do you read your Bible? And when you read it, do you pray and say, Lord, I can't understand this without your help. I need your Spirit to teach me. These are the very words of life. Lord, help me to submit to them. Help me to hear you through them. We had a couple of scriptures today. All scripture is inspired by God. You see, the Holy Spirit uses this because this is the Holy Spirit's teaching. It's what's given to us. This is a tool. And I'm afraid that many of us, the only meal we get is the one that we eat. The only spiritual food we get is the only meal is on Sunday morning when we come to church. Just think about it. If you were to go through a week without eating but one meal every week, how strong would you be? You'd be anemic, wouldn't you? You'd be weak. Are you getting into God's Word? Are you eating? Are you allowing the teacher to teach? Because see, the teacher won't teach you. He can't teach you unless you open yourselves up to him. The best teacher in the world can't teach you anything if you don't sit in his presence and learn from him. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. He's our guide. And the good news is he's creative enough that he gets our attention even when we're not doing what we're supposed to. Because he'll send people into our life and he'll send circumstances into our life that we have kind of those aha moments. But if you really want to be taught of God, you need to make sure that you're spending time, first of all, in the Word. And you should never open this or read this or think about this without first saying, God, help. Help me understand. Help me to hear your voice. Help me to know what you would have for me today. Lord, stretch the plumb line of truth in my soul and help me to align myself to it. Secondly, gathering together. You know, church is kind of non-optional. Oh yeah, you can be a Christian without coming to church. It's possible. You don't have to come to church to be a Christian, but if you want to grow stronger in Christ, if you want to be supported and encouraged, if you want to have your weaknesses and your faults exposed, if you want to have your toes stepped on so that you can learn to respond in a godly way, so that you can be conformed to all truth, then you have to be in church, surrounded by a bunch of people that are just like you, full of mistakes and errors and inadequacies that show you the mistakes and the errors and the inadequacies in your life so that all of us can grow better, healthier, more whole. under the leading and the teaching of the Holy Spirit as He works through each of us. So we need to gather together. We need to pray, talking to God the Father and allowing even the Holy Spirit to intercede on our behalf when we don't have the words. You see, the fact that the Holy Spirit is teacher is the reality that our entire life is to be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I know I haven't arrived. Well, I know about you. You haven't either. And so we need to be sitting in the presence of the Master Teacher, willing to learn, willing to say, God, help, willing to get deeper, to grow stronger, to be more conformed to the image of Jesus. Willing to be confronted with sin. I'm going to be getting very soon to the Holy Spirit as convictor. And that's probably next week. So you all know not to come. To be shown our failure, our inadequacies, how far away from the plumb line of truth our life is, so that we can bring it back. See, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't submit to Him, and if you don't say, I need help, and if you don't acknowledge that, then He can't help you. You have to submit. You have to say, here I am, and you have to have a heart that doesn't just sing a song, I want to be like Jesus, but means it from the depth of your being. I want to be like Jesus. And guess what? That's not easy. So let's pray as the worship team comes up. Father God, I thank You that the Holy Spirit is a teacher. One who is able to impart knowledge, one who is able to instruct. One who is a master teacher that teaches absolute truth that we can then align our souls to. Help us to submit by Your gracious, empowering presence. Help us to submit, to place ourselves under Your authority, under Your guidance, and under Your direction. To be moldable clay in Your hands so that You can form us and fashion us into the very likeness of Jesus Christ itself. Help us, Father, to be teachable so that the Master Teacher will have right of way in our souls. So that we will be like Jesus. For it's in His name and to His glory that we ask these things. Amen.